Tonight's shiur is titled Stories from the Gemara Competitive Kohanim. So tonight we're going to look at several stories from different Gemaras, from Yuma, from Chulin, detailing the personality traits of Kohanim. And they're probably not things that you would have thought about initially, but when you read these Gemaras, you'll see some interesting ideas, some interesting analysis and thought as to the nature of Kohanim. It's also relevant for Chanukah, because part of the story of Chanukah is the success of the Chashmoneim, who are Kohanim. So we'll tie it into Chanukah at the beginning of this year. So let's look at the stories, interesting stories. So the first source is Yuma, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and it's a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says as follows, Barishona, Kol Misha Rotza Litrom Es HaMizbeach Torim. In the beginning, there was a service in the Beis HaMikdash that the Kohanim, at the beginning of the day, would remove the ashes from the Mizbeach. And whoever wanted to do it could do it in the beginning. Look at Rashi, source number 2. Barishona kol misha rotza litrom, kol kohen shehaya ma'uso beisav, rotza litrom adeshen shachar es torim, v'lo haya pious ledavar. So any kohen who was working in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was his job and his work, so he could, if he wants to, he could do it. Whoever wants to can do it. Uvizman, back to the Mishnah, Uvizman shayu merubin rotzen v'olin bekevesh, kol akodem eschaviro ba'arba amos zacha. But when there's a lot of Kohanim, how did they decide who would get the job of removing the ashes? So the Kohanim would have a race up the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, and whoever got to the within 4 amos of the Mizbeach, the top of the Mizbeach first, won the race, so he was the one who got to do the Trumos HaDeshen, to remove the ashes. Rashi, look at Rashi, source number 2. Of Izman Shein Merubin, when there are a lot of Kohanim, Habayim Litrom, many Kohanim want to do this job. So let's say multiple Kohanim want to do the Trumos HaDeshen. So what do? Ratzin ve'olin bekevesh. Shehu shloshim mishtayim orech. They would have a race up to the top of the ramp of the Mizbeach. And v'chol kodim bahen, run Rashi, source number 2, 4 lines down. Whoever got there first, likanes esuch arba amos el yono shel kevesh hasmuchos rosh mizbeach zacha litrom v'zeo garolam. So the Mishnah says that in the beginning, there was no lottery as to who would do the job of removing the ashes from the Mizbeach. And whichever Kohen wanted to do it would get to do it. And if there were many Kohanim, they would basically race up the ramp of the Mizbeach. And whoever got up to the top first, or close to the top first, would win and would get to do the Trumos HaDeshen, remove the ashes. So what happened? So the Gemara keeps going, the Mishnah, back in source number 1. V'imayushneim shavin. Let's say there was no winner of the race. They both get to the top of the Mizbeach at the same time. Hamemuna omer lehen hitzbiu. So then at that point, they would use this system of a lottery. And the Mamuna, the person who was in charge, would tell the Kohanim, who wanted to do the Trumos HaDeshen, to put out their fingers. And umahin motzien, the Mishnah says, what would they put out? Achas u'shtayim, either one or two fingers. So Rashi explains what they would do. They would have this circle of Kohanim. And look at Rashi. V'imayushneim shavin b'chnisasan. So we're in source number 2, about 5 lines down. If everyone was equal in terms of their racing up the ramp, ein echad mehen zocha litrom. Nobody wins the race, and nobody gets to do the job. Aval me'ata kulam b'ayin l'hatol goral. Now they use a lottery system. Umahu agoral, what lottery did they use? Hamemuna ala paisos omer l'kulam. So the one who's in charge of the lottery would say to everyone, hitzbiu, hotziu etzbo seichem. So put out your fingers, almost like a draw. You know, people would have this a draw with their fingers, odds versus even. So it's the same thing over here. Kol echad yira etzba'o, each kohen who wanted to do the Trumos HaDeshen would put out his fingers. Kedem farsu kamam b'perkin, makifin v'omdin ba'agula. They would stand in a circle. Baha mamuna v'notam its nefes ma'arosh shel echamehem. So the one in charge would take the hat off of one of the kohanim, umimenu pious maschalimnos, and he would start a count from that kohen, umotzi kol echad v'echad etzbo leminyan. Each kohen would put out one or two fingers. V'hamemuna omer kol shaminin kolabo huzocha. And whatever the number that the mamuna had would fall on, so if he called out 10, he would count 10 fingers, and the kohen that it fell on would get to do the job. Okay, so back to the Mishnah, source number 1. So v'ein motzi en agodo b'mikdash. They weren't allowed to put their thumbs out in the mikdash. And the Gemara explains because Kohanim would figure out what the number was, and then they would try to trick the system by putting their thumbs down. And the thumbs, because they're far apart from their index finger, makes it look like somebody else is putting out a finger. So they said you can't use your thumbs, only your two regular fingers on your hand. So Maisa Shahayu, here's the story. So Maisa Shahayu Shnam Shavin V'Ratzin V'Olim V'Kevesh. There was a story where two Kohanim went into the Beis HaMikdash, and they wanted to do the job of the Trumas Hadeshin. They wanted to remove the ashes. V'dachaf Echad Mehen Etzchaveiro V'Nafal V'Nishbar Raglo. So one of the Kohanim pushed the other Kohen off the ramp, and he broke his leg. V'Chevan Shero Beistin Shebayin Lidei Sakana. Once the courts saw that this system would lead to a dangerous situation because the Kohen broke his leg, Hiskinu Shelo Yutor Menas Nozbeach Elav Pius. So now what they did was they created a lottery system every single time. Every morning they would have a lottery. Arba Paisos Hayusham Bizdah Pais Arishon. They had four lotteries throughout the day, and this was one of them. This was the first one. Okay, so the Mishnah in Yuma tells us an interesting story about Kohanim, but basically it says that in the beginning, in order to decide who would get the prestigious job or whoever wanted the job, the service of removing the ashes from the Mizbeach, it was first come, first serve. And if two people came in, or three, they would have a race up the ramp. But one time, what happened was, the Kohanim were running together, and one of the Kohanim was so eager to get to the top that he pushed the other one off, and the other one broke his leg. So they said, Chazal said that from that point on, it's always going to be that there's a lottery. There's always going to be a lottery in determining who gets this job, because they wanted to avoid any type of sports injury in this situation. Okay? So that's a summary of the Mishnah. So what's interesting to note is, it's interesting to note that this story occurred between two Kohanim, but there's a variation of the story that's much more fascinating in the Gemara. So we'll look at the Gemara on this, and then we'll try to analyze what we can learn from the story in the Gemara. Okay, so if you look in source number 3, it's the Gemara Yuma Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, and it's discussing this story that happened, that the two Kohanim ran up the ramp, and one of them pushed the other one off, causing the Kohen who fell off to break his leg. And that's why they changed the whole system of Trumas Hadeshen, that we were using a lottery. So look at the Gemara. It says, Maisa Shahayushnan Shavin V'Ratzin V'Olim Mekevesh. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, and then it says, Taner Rabbanan. So our rabbis taught, they're quoting a Tosefta, Maisa B'Shnei Kohanim Shahayushnan Shavin V'Ratzin V'Olim Mekevesh. There's another story here that's quoted in Tosefta, where two Kohanim were running up the ramp. So one of them was faster than the other one. And the one who was slower, Natal Sakin, he took a knife out, Vitakalo Balibo, and he stabbed the Kohen who was in front of him in his heart. So he killed the Kohen who was in front of him. So Amad Rabbi Tzadok al Malo Sa'ulam. Rabbi Tzadok was there when this happened, and he stood on the steps of the Ulam. There are many steps in the Ulam, Rashi says in source number 4, that Hordus, he built many steps. The Amar, and he said, Achinu, Beis Yisrael, Shamu, listen to me. Listen, my brothers. Hareu Omer, it says in the Torah, Ki matzei chalal ba'adama, v'yatzuze keinecha v'shoftecha, that by Egla Arufa, when they found a body in between two towns, so what happened was, the Zakenim, the elders and the judges would come out and they would measure, and then they had the whole system of Egla Arufa. Anu al mila havi Egla Arufa, who's going to bring an Egla Arufa for us? Al-Ha'ir or Al-Azaros? Is it the city of Yerushalayim or is it the Kohanim of the Azara? Go'u kol ha'am b'v'chia. So all the people were crying after they heard this from Rav Tzadok. So this is a very different story from the Mishnah. The Mishnah story is that two Kohanim were running up the ramp and one of them was so eager that they pushed the other Kohen off and the Kohen broke his leg. Now the Gemara story is a lot more juicy than that, than the Mishnah. In the Gemara story, two Kohanim are running up the ramp. The Kohen, who's slower, takes out a shiv, a knife, and he stabs him in the heart. And we'll see from the end of the story, even more interesting. So, and he stabs him in the heart. And then after that, Rav Tzadok gets up in the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, come on, people, like there's no Egla Arufa. Who's going to bring the Egla Arufa here? Okay, so the Gemara is going to ask questions on that. There is no Egla Arufa in this situation. But still, it's a strange story, right? Bizarre. Okay, so let's go on. There's another facet to the story. It's even stranger, okay? So Ba'aviv, we're in source number 3. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down from the source number 3. Ba'aviv Shaltinok Umatza. So the father of the Kohen who was stabbed in the heart, he came to his son. and he found him. He says, "Ba'aviv shaltinaku matzu kishehu mefarfer." He found him convulsing. So the guy was stabbed in the heart, the Kohen, because he was trying to get to the top of the Mizbeach, and he was convulsing. Omar, harehu kaparaschem. So the father said, "This is your kapara. V'adayin b'ni mefarfer. My son is still convulsing. He's not dead yet. V'lo nitma asakin." And so therefore, the knife that was stuck inside of him did not become tame. Because the knife would only become tame if his son was dead, but his son was still convulsing. So therefore, the knife did not become tame. Strange. L'lamedcha, so keep going. L'lamedcha, shekasha aleim taras kelim, yoser mishvichas damim. So their valuation of taharas kelim, of the purity of various vessels, was more important to them than shvichas damim, than murder. V'cheinu omer, as it says, v'gam dam naki shafach menashe, harbe miod, asher, mole es Yerushalayim pelepeh. And it says that Menashe spilled so much blood that in Yerushalayim that it went from one end to the other end. Okay, so let's look at Rashi just to explain the facts, and then I'll explain the stories, and the Gemara is going to analyze the stories, and then we'll come up with our idea, with our explanation of what the stories are trying to teach us. So look at Rashi, source number 4. It says, Almalos ulam b'harabayis. By the base of Mikdash on harabayis, ulamos harbe banasham hordos. There are many different levels. Kemosha kasa b'sefer Yosef ben Gurion, almalos ulam b'harabayis, ulamos garsina b'tosefta. Almilahavi, so who's going to bring the Agla Rufa? Mishal miti lakach, mina yoshem be'ir, or mina kohanim shomer yazar. So who should we take it from, the kohanim or the people? Ga'u, so what happened was, when Rav Tzadok said that, the people were screaming, tzaku, and they were all crying. And then afterwards, the father finds the son, and we're in Rashi on the second sheet. He says, Hareyu kaparaschem, misaso techaper aleichem. So his death will be a kapara for you, upon you. And so that's what the Gemara is saying. So fine. So there's two stories, two parts of the story. The first part is that the two Kohanim are running up. One Kohen stabs the other in the heart. And the second is that the father of the Kohen, who was stabbed in the heart, who's still alive and convulsing, makes this weird comment that thankfully there's a kapara here, because the sakin is not going to become tame. The one that's sticking out of his heart is not going to become tame, because they can pull it out and he's still alive. He's not dead yet. Only if he was dead would it become tame because of Tomas Mes. Okay, fine. So now keep going in the Gemara. Back to source number 3. Hi, Maisa Kadam. So which story came first? The story of the two Kohanim that ran up the ramp and one of them fell off and broke his leg? Or is it the story of the Tosefta where two Kohanim were running up the ramp and one of them stabbed the other one in the heart? Which one came first? So, Ilema, the Shvichas Damim, Hashta, Shvichas Damim, Lo Takinu Paisa, Anishbar Raglo Takinu. So if you want to say that the story of the murder came before the story of the guy who broke his leg, how could they not establish a lottery? Because the Mishnah says they only establish a lottery after the guy broke his leg. How come they wouldn't establish a lottery after one coin stabbed another coin? So the Gemara says, Ela denishbara raglo kadim. So the story of the one who broke his leg going up the ramp came first. The chevan takinu paisa arba amos maya vitayu. So then the Gemara asks, if they did establish a lottery, so how did the second story even happen? How did the story where the two Kohanim were running up and one of them kills or stabs the other one even happen? So Ella, so the Gemara answers, La'olam d'shvichos damim kadim. The murder story occurred first. Umei kara savar akrai ba'almahu. First they thought that this was just an unusual case. A Kohen stabbing another Kohen in the heart is just unusual. Kevan d'chazi afilu memela asli de'sakana takina rabbanan paisa. Once they saw that it could even occur accidentally, where somebody could break their leg, so then they establish the lottery. Okay? So the Gemara is just trying to establish the facts. But now it goes back to the story, and the Gemara adds some interesting points to the story, which we'll have to explain. Back to the murder story. So Amud Rab Tzadok. Rab Tzadok got up when he saw this happen. One coin stabs another coin in the heart, because he's in front of him getting up to the Mizbeach. So Amud Rab Tzadok Amalos Ha'ulam V'Amar Achinu Beis Yisrael Shamu Arei Omer Kimatei Chalav Adama. So he says to the people, who's supposed to bring the Egla Rufa, the people, or is it us? So the Gemara asks, Yerushalayim bas asuye Egla Rufahi? Is there even a system of Egla Rufa by Yerushalayim? It's a rhetorical question. There isn't. Vatanya, sar dvarm nemru b'Yerushalayim, zu achas man, enam avi Egla Rufa. There was never a case of Egla Rufa by Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim wasn't given to one Shevet in particular. So the Gemara says, V'od lo noda mihi kauksiv. It doesn't say, by Egla Rufa, we don't know who murdered the body, the person whose body was found. V'hanodam yiko, but in the Cohen case, we know who killed the other Cohen. We watched it. Everyone saw one Cohen stab the other one in the heart. So why did he do this? Ela k'dei l'harbos b'v'chia. So rather, the story was that Rav Tzadok just said this in order to create more crying. So what's the point of that? So that's what we have to explain. So the first question on the story about the Kohanim is, why did Rav Tzadok mention the idea of Egel Arufa in this situation in the Mikdash in order to get them to cry, the harbos b'vachia? What was the point of that? Why did he do that? Because the halacha of Egel Arufa, like the Gemara says, doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. It wouldn't apply in this situation. So he's just mentioning it as a philosophical point. So what is that point? What is the purpose of Rav Tzadok getting up there and saying to everyone, you know, who's going to bring the Egel Arufa? Is it the people? Is it the Azara? So why did he say that? So that's the first question. And then the second question is like this. It says, Ba'aviv shaltinok umatzu kishuhu mefarfer. So now the Gemara takes up the second part, where the father found his son convulsing. Amar harehu kaparaschem ba'dayin b'ni kayam lamedcha shekashalem taras kelim yosher meshvichas damim. So taras kelim, the purity of kelim, was more important to them than murder. So the Gemara asked, Ibailahu, Shvichas damim hu dizal? So was Shvichas damim lessened in their eyes? Aval taharas kelim kidekaima kaima? But their idea of taharas kelim stayed the same? O dilma shvichas damim kidekaima kaima? Or maybe their idea of Shvichas damim was the same. They really viewed it harshly. Aval taharas kelim hi dechamira? But they are very machmir on taharas kelim. So the Gemara says, Tashma midekan nasiv la talmuda v'gam naki shafach menashe. So from the fact that the Gemara brings in the story about Menashe, who was one of the evil kings, and he killed a lot of people, Shvichas Damim hu dizal. It must be that their idea of Shvichas Damim was lessened, Vitaras Kelim k'dekayma kayma. So the Gemara asked the question, was it that they were super machmir from people who cared more about Taras Kelim than actual murder? Or did they just, was their idea of murder, was there a desensitization to murder? So the Gemara answers, no, you see from the pasuk brought in by the Gemara, that it was a desensitization to murder. Okay, so that's the Gemara. So again, just to summarize, the Gemara has two stories. One is three, actually. The story of the Mishnah is that two Kohanim run up, and one Kohen's leg gets broken because he's pushed off the ramp. The second story, which is a juicier story, is that two Kohanim run up in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them stabs the one behind the faster one, stabs the one who's faster because he wants to do Trumas Hadeshen, and he's so eager, he stabs him in the heart, and he's... So Rav Tzadok gets up there, and he talks about Egel Arufa. So our question was, and the Gemara's question is, there is no idea of Egel Arufa. So the Gemara answers, it's in order to create Bechia, to create Tza'aka, screaming and crying. So why did he do that? What was the value of that? And then finally, the Gemara asks an interesting question. Was it that their idea of murder was lessened, decreased in their mind, or was it that their idea of Taras Kalim was more important? So the Gemara tries to answer, and it says that their idea of Shvichas Damim was lessened. So you have to just understand. So what's the purpose of the story? What can we learn? What lesson? What idea can we learn from this? So let's look at the Ritva, and then we'll give an idea. The first idea in the shir. So the Ritva in source number 5 says like this: K'dei l'harbos v'v'chia. So why did Rav Tzadok mention Egel Arufa to create the effect of people crying and screaming? Klomar. Meaning to say, Shayamarbe Bechia Kishaomer Dvarm Elif. So the people were crying even more a lot when they heard Rav Tzadok mention the idea of Egel Arufa. Dechevan dal Safe Chalo Hanimsa Bechutz Hikpi de Torah Kolkach, Kolshikan al Vadai Chalo Vesocha Mikdash. So since the Torah is so machbid, so strict in a case where we don't know who murdered somebody and they found the body in between two cities, even more so when we see this occur in the Mikdash and we know exactly what happened. So what's that idea? What's that concept? And then the last point in the Ritva is that the case of Menashe, he says, from the idea of Menashe, they learn out that the people at that time had a lessened idea or view of murder. But the Ritva says, V'afal gav dahu kra haya b'vayis rishon. The pasuk by Menashe is talking about Bayis Rishon. This is much later. Hachi Karmar Talmuda. The Gemara is saying, Kimatsinu Mizman Maruba Shahur Glu Lishbok Dam Yerushalayim. There are many years where people were murdered in Yerushalayim. Umoso Zman Vela Chayakal Beinam, and it became desensitized in their eyes. Right? So that's the end of the story with the Ritva. So what's the purpose? The first idea in the Shir. What's the purpose of this story? What can we learn from this story? So I think to answer that, we have to answer the Rav Tzadok point. So why did he mention Egel Arufa? So I think just a basic point, basic answer, is that Rav Tzadok used Eglah Rufa in that situation because he was trying to show that the people that for an event like this to occur, there has to be a societal failure. So people want to say that they want to dissociate and they want to think that when a murder like that occurs, that it's just a freak accident. And in fact, the Gemara says it's a cry. It actually occurred, and it was unusual that one kohen would stab another kohen in the heart. It's pretty unusual. But Rav Tzadok was saying that the people shouldn't dissociate from this situation, and they should recognize that there's a societal issue or there's a societal problem that's creating the situation that allowed this to occur. It's not just one psycho kohen who's killing another kohen, but there's a but society. And this is either Yerushalayim, he's mentioning Yerushalayim, or the Kohanim, their environment, the environment was allowed for this to occur, allowed for the situation to occur, and the people would have to identify with the situation in order to be introspective and to understand, you know, what in society at that time allowed this to occur. And it's very appropriate because this story is almost like a mirror of nowadays in America, because you have all these crazy shootings in America. It's the same idea. You have all these crazy shootings in America, and we could say our attitude could be that there's just isolated psychotics in society. But another possibility is that there's a societal issue that we're all responsible for creating a society that allows shootings like that to occur. And this was recognized in the Gemara. The same idea is recognized here by Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok is showing the people that the fact that a kohen could be in the mikdash and stab another kohen in the heart, and the people are watching, the fact that that could even occur demonstrates or reflects on a societal issue, not just a yachid, not just a psychopath issue, but a societal issue that's breeding this type of situation and allowing it to occur. So that's why they were harbu bevechia, meaning he was trying to get the people to identify with this situation and not dissociate and say, oh, it's just a psycho kohen, a crazy kohen, but rather recognize that they're witnessing it, that they somehow, the society that was created allowed for this to occur, and it was a negative. So what is that idea? So that idea, I think, is pretty pshat. So the Gemara says that they had a desensitization to Misa, to death. And you see from the father's response to the son that, and the Gemara even asked that question, which one was it? Was it that they were so machmer and halacha, or was it desensitization to death? And the Gemara's answer is that their idea of death was diminished in their eyes. So, you know, it's another analogy to Bizman Hazeh, that Bizman Hazeh, we live in an environment, and there's a lot of different reasons given. You know, some people say it's TV, video games, all these things, where our idea of human life is diminished. We view humans as just animals, animalistic, and we devalue the uniqueness of the Tzelem Elokim of each individual, and that allows us to be desensitized to death. So the same idea existed back then in the time of the Gemara, where, and that's what the Ritva is saying, that once the people of Yerushalayim saw Menashe kill all these people, they were desensitized to it, and that was a problem in society. That was a societal issue, and Rav Tzadok was trying to show the people that they shouldn't dissociate and say, oh, this is not a societal issue that this occurred, but they should recognize what caused this to occur, that it was an environment that bred this individual, that led this individual to do this, this kohen to do this. So that's, I think that's the purpose of this story in the Gemara. The purpose of the story is not just to analyze when the pious was set up, when the lottery was set up, but it was also to show you that there are situations where murder has to be attributed to a societal issue, not just an individual issue. And Rav Tzadok was able to identify this situation as a societal problem. So that's, I think, the first story. Okay, so that's the first idea about competitive Kohanim. So the Kohanim were very competitive to get to the top of the Mizbeach, to the point where one of them, you know, killed the other one. Okay, so that's the first story. The second story also is about Abaye. Abaye was a Kohen. There's a lot of the Chazal, the Tanaim and Amoraim, were Kohanim, because one of the jobs of the Kohanim, even in the Torah, and the Leviim, are to teach Torah to the Am. So you see that a lot of the Amoraim and Tanaim were Kohanim. So Abaye was a Kohen. And this is an interesting story, and there's a very fascinating side part to the story, which grabbed my attention initially, but then I was thinking about the story as a whole. So you'll see what I mean. So look in source number 6. It's Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. It says, Amar Abaye. So Abaye said, Mereish hava chatifna matanta. In the beginning, I would snatch the matanos. There were Kohanim were given various pieces of meat, zroa lechayayim and keva. They were given various pieces of meat from the from the people, from Yisraelim, in order to enjoy. And they were even chulin. They were, even after the Beis Hamikdash, Abai didn't live in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Way after, they would still give them the Kohanim the gifts of meat, the zroa lechayayim and keva, because they were chulin. They weren't kadosh. They weren't hekdesh. So in the beginning, Abai would just take what he wanted. Basically, he would just take the matanos that were given to him, or that were going to be given to him. So Amina, I believed chavuve kam machavivna mitzvah. I thought that this was chibuv mitzvah, meaning it's a mitzvah to give the kohen these pieces of meat, zroa lechayim and keva, these three pieces of meat. And I thought that it was chibuv mitzvah for me to take my portion. Kevan deshamana lecha v'nosan. The Torah says v'nosan, that it should be given to the kohen. Below sheyitol me'atzmo, that you shouldn't take it. Michtaf luchatifna. I didn't take it. I waited for it to be given to me. So at first, Abai thought that it was chib of mitzvah to take the matanos, the gifts that were given to him or that were owed to him. But then he realized from the pasuk it says v'nosan, that it should be given to him, that he should hold off and just wait till it's given to him. So meimar amri havuli. Then after that, he would say to people, "Give me your gifts." The chevan deshamana. So look at Rashi. Meimar amar havuli. Ha'isi shol obepeh. I would go to a random Jew, Yisrael, and bepeh malisha isi savar shu chibah mitzvah. I would ask them for the matanos. I would ask them for these pieces of meat because he thought that it was chibah mitzvah. It's a demonstration of how much he loved the mitzvah. So he says the chevan deshamana lohad desanya. So then he learned this brisa. Vayita acharei abatza. The children of Shmuel, Shmuel was a Levi, and the children of Shmuel, the children of Shmuel were taking their miser. They were taking what they thought was owed to them, their miser, and they would even ask for it. They would ask for the miser, and they were criticized. The pasuk criticizes them, that it says that they turned after gain, like monetary gain. Rav Meir Omer, Bnei Shmuel, Chalkom Shalu B'Piyem. So Shmuel, the sons of Shmuel, were criticized because they asked for their chelek, they asked for their portion, they asked for it. So when Abai learned this brisa, it says, Memar nami lo amina, he wouldn't ask for it anymore. Vi yavuli shakilna, but if somebody gave it to me, then I would take it. So at first he would just take the matanos, the zroa lechayim and keva. Then after he learned the pasuk, v'nasan, he would ask for it. Then he learned about Shmuel's kids, that they were punished for asking. So then he would just take it if somebody gave it to him. Then you learn a new brisa. Hatznuim by lechem apanim. Hatznuim moshkin esdem. The kohanim that were tsanua, that were modest, wouldn't take any of the bread. They would just hold back. The hagarganim cholkim. So the greedy would take the bread. Mishkal nami lo shakilna. Then Abai wouldn't even take matanos. Even if somebody offered it to him, he wouldn't accept. Levar mimale yoma dechipure. Except for Erev Yom Kippur. Because he wanted people to know that he was a Kohen. He didn't want it to be forgotten that he's a Kohen. So once a year, he would accept Matanos. And that was Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gemara asked, V'lifros Yadeh. This is the side part. But the Gemara said, why didn't he just do Birkas Kohanim? Back then, everyone would do Birkas Kohanim. And if Abai did Birkas Kohanim, everyone would know he was a Kohen. So he wouldn't have to accept the Matanos to demonstrate that he's a Kohen. He could just do Birkas Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Anse le inne. So his time was pressing. So look at Rashi. This is the fascinating Rashi. Look at source number 7, the bottom line. It says, Anse le inne, itim shekava le talmidav, hayu tordim oso milisas kabav, shayu osik le talmidav, be'eshat zibor ne'asafel mevesak nezes. So he had these times that he would spend learning with his students, and it happened to coincide with people going to shul. So it says that he never went to shul. So Abaye, the Rashi holds that Abaye never went to shul, and he never did Birkas Kohanim. So he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim because he was always learning with his Talmidim and the Zman that people were davening in shul. So he was never able to do Birkas Kohanim. So the only way that people would know that Abaye is a Kohen and not forget it was once a year on Erev Yom Kippur, he would go to the market and he would accept matanos. He would accept these gifts, Zroa Lechayim and Keva, from the people. So there's two questions. The first question is, what's the purpose of this Gemara? What do we learn about the nature of the Kohen accepting the gifts that are owed to him or bestowed upon him from the Torah? And what can we learn about Abaye? And then furthermore, this last point here, that he never went to shul because the Gemara says, why didn't he just do Nisias Kapayim? Why doesn't he just do Birkas Kohanim and then people will know he's a Kohen? Why does he have to accept the three pieces of meat in order to demonstrate that he's a Kohen? Just go to shul, Dochen, and then people will know you're a Kohen. So the Gemara answers, he never did. And Rashi explains that it's because he was always learning with his Talmidim. So the Ritva brings down Rashi and he gives a different reason that I guess people are probably more would enjoy more. But look in the Ritva, in source number 8. He says, Anisi le idne, perish, shayatarud b'talmuda. He was learning, be'esha kavla taraso, shayakove itim Torah. He had set times for learning, kidamina b'psachim, shal liftach b'idne, v'ito shal abaya kavua b'shas nisiyas kapayim. He was always learning. His set time to learn was in the time when the Kohanim would duchin. He never went to shul for Kriyas HaTorah because he was always learning. The other way to learn it is that ansile inne means that he had a stomach issue, he had a stomach disease, and therefore he was never able to go to shul because he was always worried about going to the bathroom, wearing his tefillin, and going to the bathroom while he was davening, so he can never go to shul. So that's the other way of learning. So there's two ways of learning a bias. Case. Either he never went to shul because he set up his man of learning in the time of Beis Knesset, so he never went to Davin and shul, and never did Berakas Kohanim. Or the other possibility is that he had a stomach ailment that prevented him from going to shul. Two possibilities. I mean, the first possibility, which is Rashi and the Ritva brings down, is pretty fascinating to say that, you know, a person like Abaye never went to shul because he was always learning in those times, and he set up his times at that time. So that's pretty interesting from a philosophical standpoint, and maybe we can give a possibility for that. But what's the idea that Abaye is expressing in the way that he first associated to the mitzvah, and then he changed his mind, and then you see that he retracted, and he would only accept it once a year? So I think the answer is like this, and this is also a critical idea in Jewish philosophy. Look in source number 9. The Rambam says like this, on this halacha. He says, Lo yachtov ha-kohen ha-matanos. A Kohen should not snatch or take away the matanos. V'lo yishal b'fiv. He shouldn't ask for them. Elim kein nosen lo b'chavo notel. If it's given to him with respect, he should take it. V'vizman sheim rabim b'veis ha-matbachim. Hatznuim moshu nidem v'agarganim notlin. When there's a lot of Kohanim by the butcher, the tznuim, the Kohanim that are modest, would retract their hands. They wouldn't pull their hands out to grab stuff. But the garganim would take. The ones that are greedy would take. V'im haya kohen tznua. If there's a Kohen who nobody knows is a Kohen, he's very modest. He should take once, like Abaye did, so that people know that he's a Kohen. And the Kohanim could only eat this meat roasted and with mustard, because that's like that's the way that Malachim, the kings, eat it. So what do we see from the Rambam? What's the idea here in the story in Abaye? So we see that, and this is a common flaw, that people relate to a mitzvah, a halachic mitzvah, without understanding the philosophy of the mitzvah. And a lot of times people overreact, and they end up thinking that chibuv mitzvah is an idea in the halachic category, the halachic nature of the mitzvah, when the philosophy of the mitzvah undermines it. So over here, in this case, what Abaye is demonstrating is that halachically, it might be chibuv mitzvah to snatch the matanos, because it shows how much you love the matanos and you love the Torah and how the Torah set up the system. But the idea of the matanos is that they're supposed to reflect that a Kohen is a melech. He's a great person. He's a person that should be respected. And for a Kohen to grab things is a sign of, it's the opposite. It's a sign of being homeless. It's a sign of a person who's cheap and who's not respected. So the idea of the Gemara, I think, is that Abaye was more attached. At first, he was attached to the halachic aspects of the mitzvah. I need to do everything perfectly. Like, people do this all the time with all mitzvahs. Tzitzis, kiddush, tefillin. I have to have multiple sets of tefillin. Everything has to be perfect in the halachic aspect. But in this situation, at first, Abaye was attached to the halachic elements, but the whole philosophical idea of the matanos was undermined by it. Because the philosophy is that the Kohen is supposed to be viewed and respected through the giving of the matanos to the Kohen. It's not supposed to be that the Kohen's snatching the matanos. It's the opposite. The Kohen's supposed to act in a respectful manner. He's supposed to recognize that the whole purpose of the Matanos is so that the Am view the Kohanim in a certain way, and by snatching them or by asking people for it, it undermines it. So we see from this Gemara that Abaye was able to attach himself more to the philosophy of the mitzvah than to the halachic elements, the maisa mitzvah, the act of the actions of grabbing the matanos or taking them. He was more attached to the philosophy. He understood the philosophy, and he was more attached to the philosophy than the actual halachic elements. And especially in this situation when the philosophy undermines the halachic elements, so Abaye is showing you that the philosophy is really the key, is more important, is more essential. So that's what Abaye was showing you, and that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says at the end of that halacha, the very halacha that a kohen is supposed to eat the matanos tzli, roasted, and with chardal, because that's the idea of malachim, that's how malachim eat it, meaning that a kohen is supposed to understand that the purpose of matanos is that the Am view them as respected, as malachim, as kings. So that philosophy of the mitzvah has to be upheld in the face of being undermined by, you know, chibuv a mitzvah in the other way, for the halachic. So there's two types of chibuv. There's a chibuv for the halachic elements, the actions, the maisa mitzvah in technicality, and then there's a chibuv of the philosophy. And if you understand the philosophy, so you'll act differently. And that's what Abaye is showing you. And perhaps that's why he held that you can miss shul for learning. So maybe he was attached to the philosophy of, or he understood that the philosophical benefits of learning for him was greater than the philosophical benefits of going to shul. And there is halachic matir, because I said, I guess, osik mitzvah patir min a mitzvah. And he was able to justify that he didn't have to go. But I think the key idea is that Abaye was understood that the philosophy of a mitzvah is more essential than the act of the mitzvah, the technicalities of the mitzvah. Okay, so one last point. So about Kohanim, and then we'll summarize. So one last Gemara. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says that Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Arba Meos Avadim, there are 400 Avadim, the Amri La Arba Salafim Avadim, some say 4,000, Hayu Le Pashchor Ben Amar. Pashchor Ben Amar was a Kohen in the time of Yirmiyahu, and he had 400, some say 4,000 slaves. The Chulam Nitma'u B'Kuhuna. So they all assimilated themselves as Kohanim, because they were all eating Truma, an Eved's allowed to eat Truma of a Kohen. The Chol Kohen Shiishbo Azus Panim Eino Elamehem. So the Gemara says any Kohen that demonstrates brazenness is loud and angry. So any Kohen that demonstrates that, so it's Eino Elamehem. You know that they're not really a Kohen. They're one of the Avadim. Amar Abaye, so Abaye supports this. Kulu Yasvan Beshura de Benardea. They're all sitting in Nardea. And the judges, they're all sitting in the courts of Nardea. Upliga the Rav Elazar, but it's a machlokas. Rav Elazar says the opposite. Damar Rav Elazar, im reisa kohen ba'azus metzach al tahar acharav. If you see a kohen who's brazen, so don't question his lineage. Shenemar v'amcha kimarive kohen. So there's two opinions. One opinion is that kohanim who are brazen, who are loud and in your face, so that's a sign that they're not really kohanim. They're avadim. And the other side, Rav Elazar says, no, that a Kohen, if you see a Kohen who's brazen, who's loud, and who's angry, who demonstrates those characteristics, so you know that they're really a Kohen, and that you shouldn't question their lineage. So the question is, what's the machlokas here? What are the two sides? So the last point in the shir is that I think that there's two, the Gemara is showing you a psychological insight, that there's two sources for brazenness, for Azus Metzach. So one source is a tremendous insecurity, that you're always trying to prove yourself. You're trying to prove that you are what you're not. You know, underlying, you know that you're not really a Kohen, but you're trying to prove that you're somebody special, that you're somebody important. So that's Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He's saying that whenever you see Azus Metzach, it's a sign of an insecurity, a tremendous insecurity. So therefore, it's a sign that if a person's saying they're a Kohen, they're not really a Kohen. They're really just an Eved who's trying to assimilate and become a Kohen. But the opposite, Rav Elazar is saying the opposite. A lot of times, Azus Metzach comes from a security. So Azus Metzach you could say it comes from an insecurity, a person who's trying to prove himself, but you could also say that Azus Metzach comes from a sense of pride. Listen, I know who I am, and I'm an important person, and this is how I feel, and my belief is, and you know, I'm going to be zealous when it comes to Torah, and I'm going to be in your face, and I'm going to be Azus Metzach. So I think the machlokas is how do you identify, when you see Azus Metzach, you know, what's the primary source for it? Is the primary source an insecurity, and therefore it undermines the Kohen's lineage, or is the primary source of Azus Metzach, when you see it, really the opposite. It's a sense of security in your position, that you really feel that you're entitled to this position because of you're a Kohen in this situation. So therefore, it's a sign, it really is a sign of a true lineage of a Kohen. Okay, so that's the end of the share. So let me just summarize. There's really three points to the share, three main stories or three main parts. The first part is the story of the Kohanim. There are three stories. One is the Kohanim were racing up and one Kohen pushed another one off and it broke his leg. The second is that two Kohanim were running up the ramp and one of them stabs one of them in the heart, the one who's in front in the heart. And Rav Tzedek gets up there and talks about Egla Rufa in order to create crying. And then the third part is the father. The father sees the son and he's convulsing, and then he says, you know, thank God the knife is still Tahor because the son isn't dead. So we said that the main purpose of that story is to teach us that Rav Tzedek was trying to identify a societal issue as opposed to saying that it's just a yachid who's crazy. Rav Tzedek was trying to show the people that there's a societal problem here that has allowed this to occur. And the societal problem, the Gemara identifies later, is that they were desensitized to Misa. And that can happen over time. If you witness it, you can really devalue the Tzelem Elokim, and people can be viewed as animals in that sense. And Misa was really devalued, diminished in their eyes, Shvichas Damim, and therefore... So therefore, Rav Tzedek was trying to show them that a societal issue was what created this. And so I brought in the analogy of Bizman Azet, the shooters, you know, the shootings in America. It's really a societal issue. It's not necessarily just individuals who are psychos, but it's a society that's breeding this type of person. The second part of the shir was Abaye. And the Abaye story was trying to teach us that that Abaye was more attached to the philosophy. When there's a conflict between the philosophy and the technicality of the mitzvah, he recognized that the philosophy of the mitzvah is more important. And the philosophy by Kahuna and Matanos Kahuna is that the Kohanim should always be viewed as respected. So for a Kohen to grab a Matanos, even if he loves the Matanos and he loves the mitzvah, so that undermines the philosophy, which is that they're supposed to be viewed in a certain way. So Abaye was more attached to the philosophy of the mitzvah than he was to the technicality of it. And the last point was this Gemara on the personalities of Kohanim, that when you see a person with Aziz Metzach, brazenness, how should we assess that person? Should we view it as just a reflection of a massive insecurity, and that's the primary, or should we view it as more of a sign of security, and the person's just confident? So how do we view Aziz Metzach? So that's the Machlokas in the Gemara. All right, so everyone have a good Shabbos. Thank you.